All right, my name is Derek Smothers, for those of you that may not know, and we sit on that side of the sanctuary with my family, if you don't know who we are. Pastor Craig asked me to teach Sunday school for the next few months, and so I will be doing that. And so hopefully we have a good time. Hopefully the topic at hand is very applicable. I roam, so don't expect me to stay behind here, okay? So I will speak loud enough. If you can't hear me, I will try as best to come back over here, okay, to be heard. But please don't hold it against me, okay? I'm going to open our time in prayer, and then there's a few things we need to just, by way of introduction, go through. And then we'll get into our message, all right? So would you pray with me? Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, it's a joy to be in your church today here in Mesquite to gather together with believers and, Lord, perhaps unbelievers alike. And as we get into your word this morning, we would ask that the Holy Spirit would teach us. Teach us from your eternal word. Lord, help us to not only know truth intellectually, but I pray, Lord, that it would connect to our hearts as well so that there would be a life change. So that as we leave this place, Lord, we're not the same. We're more like Jesus. And so I pray for each one, Lord, that you would help us to focus. There's a lot of things that happen throughout the week. Lord, we have problems, relational problems too. And Lord, just help us to just to sit back, relax, and listen to what you would have for us today. Lord, I thank you for each one that is here. I pray our time would be a blessing to them. And Lord, may we be a blessing to you as we just participate in your word this morning. We ask your blessing upon it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, a few things just by way of introduction. One thing I would just, right off the gate, I would ask you to pray for me this week. I got a call about 8 days ago from a pastor friend of mine in northern Utah. And he said, Derek, our camp speaker for high school group or high school camp just backed out. I'm wondering if you could pull off high school camp. Now, here's the thing. That entails 10 sermons. It entails 10 sermons. You want me to put this on?
You wonder, and that doesn't pick up. So.
Okay.
We're recording it, so.
I understand. Okay. How do I do this?
Just pinch your shirt.
Dave, can you come pinch my shirt for me? So, he's my brother-in-law. He can do that. This is punishment for being a wanderer. Okay. So I'm leaving right after Sunday school, you guys, to drive 4.5 hours to high school camp starting tonight. So I had to put together 2 Sunday school lessons this last week for today and next week because I'm going to be tired when I get back. Then I have to preach another 9 times on top of it this week. So I don't preach very often anymore. I've been pastoring for 20 years, for those of you that don't know. And then we moved here on sabbatical. So it's kind of like God's just throwing me back into the frying pan on this. And so so here's the deal. I'm just going to give you a heads up now. If I seem confused this morning, it's because I've put together 11 different messages this week. And literally last night at about 10, I opened up my Sunday school this morning and said, Lord, what are we doing tomorrow? Because I don't remember. Okay? So hopefully you guys give me a little grace this morning. Okay, here's the deal. I give you guys, when I speak and when I do things like this, I get a ton of information. A lot of information. So I always give notes. You can follow along. The highest of likelihood is we're not going to get through the entirety of the lesson, especially if you guys have good discussion, okay? And I like interaction. And so if you have a comment, please raise your hand and we'll motor through. I don't necessarily have all the answers, but that's okay. God's word always has the answers. And so what I've provided for you, just in case we don't get through it all, these are the notes with all of the answers, and you can continue your own study through the things that we study about for the next 2 months. Okay, that's fair? So if we don't ever get through, you don't ever have to be mad at me because you'll always have the notes. And if I don't have enough notes, I'll email them to you. You can just say, hey, here's my email, and I'll email them to you, okay? Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Does that sound fair?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Let's see. Let me ask you a question this morning. What is the, I don't know how to term this any other way, what is the slogan of River Valley Bible Church? Anybody know the slogan? There's a clue. You get it every week. There's a clue that should tell you. I think this is the slogan. I don't know if it is. Oh, very good. We need some more notes. Sure. Dave, you got those? John has them. Okay. Real, relevant, relational. Relational. Very good. Those three R words. Very easy to remember. That last word, relational. Very, very important. And so that's what we're going to be looking at, is how to have proper relationships. And so this morning we're going to look at how to be biblically authentic in our relationships. And there's different ones. I've given you a schedule. That's kind of what we're going to be looking at in the next few weeks. And so there it is. We're going to look at how we can relate to one another. What does the Bible say about relationships? That's really, really important. And here's the reason why. When you go to school, and some of my kids have completed this, this is a book that my kids have received on how to drive. Okay, look at this thing. You can do it online now, and so my kids have been doing it online. Unfortunately, the real driving part with mom and dad, that's not online anymore. It's never been online. You actually get to get in the car still and hit the air brake as they're driving. And then, of course, this last week backing out, I actually hit my brother-in-law's car. So I didn't have a good example of how to drive. But what we do is we have these books and we have these studies in school, and they help us really in life to, I guess, be trained for things that, I mean, if you don't know how to drive very well, you could cause some real damage. Well, the interesting thing about school is they really don't teach about how to have proper relationships. Not that I find. And if you're going to talk about sex education in the public school, oftentimes that has nothing to do with relationships. And there's a lot of relationship failure in our world today, and people really don't know what's going on. But that's the great thing about God's Word. Amen? It's the great thing about God's Word is He can give us direction on really how to have proper relationships. And so that's what we're going to be doing over the next 2 months, is just kind of looking at Pastor Dave, or not Pastor Dave, I don't know. What do they call you here? Dave, okay. Just Dave. Pastor Craig, sometimes I call him Pastor Dave, depending on the context of where I'm at. Really, when it comes to relating with people, we really do need God's Word above anything. There's a lot of books written on relationships. I'm sure some of you guys have read those books before, but the best book is God's Word, and that's what we need. I'm wearing this shirt not because this is my church shirt, and not even because this is actually accurate. It says, Best Little League Coach. I just want to share with you a story about relationship. Dave approached me this last year, and he said, how would you feel about coaching Little League Baseball and you know, Noah's team, his son? And I said, yeah, I'd be willing to help you out. And our goal was this going into this season. It wasn't to be the best team, okay? It wasn't to, accumulate the most wins. We had two goals, really. Number one, our first goal was to do this. Love these kids and love the parents. But really love these kids, because we really don't know what kind of a home life they come from. And we want to have, for Dave, he's been in this community for 15 years. So he's established, a good, what you might call, testimony in this area. I don't have those kind of relationships. But I said, hey, listen, let's love these kids. I've worked with kids for over 20 years, youth groups and little kids programs. So I said, you know, I'm willing to do that. And plus, I love my nephew. So let's do this. So love the kids, love the parents. And then secondly, if there's any baseball skills that we can actually pass along, Dave's a hockey guy. I grew up, I love baseball, but I mean, I'm not like a professional or anything. So I said, you know, hopefully they just improve a little bit. Well, long story short, our team, the talent was really low, I got to say. These are 8 to 10-year-olds, is that the range that we had? And we had multiple incidences with one particular parent where actually I actually went to the president of our league and had a sit-down with him to say, this parent is a real problem. I don't know how to actually handle him, because he really kind of went after me. Of course, he did go after Dave as well. But we had more problems with the parents. And so we began praying about this particular parent and how to relate to him. And my wife was involved in the situation as well. I didn't know quite what to do because he was kind of after me at times too. And I had to really be careful, you guys, just thinking this through, because it was our testimony. Long story short, his son on our team ended up really being our best baseball player. He got the actually most valuable player award at the end of the year and really did a lot of great things for us. But through that difficult situation for Dave and I, since we weren't about wins, actually that parent is about wins, He's about performance. He's about 6 days a week practice is what he wanted us to do for 8 to 10 year olds. 6 days a week, that's just impossible. But anyway, through all of this, we just were continuing to pray, and out of it has come a relationship. At the beginning of the year, Dave put on a huge barbecue with the team, with the parents. We all had that. And the end of the year, at our house, we opened up our home, and we had a barbecue as well. And it gave us an opportunity to sit down with this particular parent and all the parents and develop what we call a relationship, a friendship. And it was very interesting. Through the course of the whole year, the parents would say, "You're our friend. You're our friend. Not only are you our son's baseball coach, but we consider you a friend." Exactly what we've been praying for, because we want friendships with those that don't know Jesus Christ. And here's what I can tell you. This last week, I got some news from Dave and Christy. That son, who is our MVP, whose dad was difficult through the year, but we have forged a friendship, he is going to junior camp this next week at Cedar Mountain Retreat. Dave sent out an email to all of those parents and said, "Hey, we have a Bible camp. Would you be willing to send your son to camp?" And here's the great thing. A parent would never entrust us with their son to that degree to send them up on a mountain for 5 days with total strangers unless they trust us. And trust is built, it's forged through friendship. And it was very rocky at first, I would say, but Dave and I agree, the Lord has been working. Despite maybe things that I do that are dumb or stupid or whatever, God is working. And so as a result of our season, Dave and I both got the shirt from our parents. Best Little League coaches. Not because we won every game, because we certainly did not win every game. But they said, "You guys had the best attitude." We heard time and time again, "You loved our kids." And that's what it's all about, you know? It's not about winning. I mean, we hated losing. But our record was 4 wins, 8 losses, and 1 tie at the end of it. We weren't in last place. There was one team that never won a game all year. We won them twice. But and I actually felt bad about winning them, to be honest with you. But it is about relationship. And you guys, here's the difference between evangelical Christianity and every other faith in the world, is we are not a religion. We are based on a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who came down and left heaven, who became a man. And so that's what we want to talk about. What does it mean to have a relationship with God, with Jesus? But what does it also mean for us to have a relationship with each other that's so powerful that it kind of stumps a watching world? And you see, I don't know if this church can change the world, but I know and I believe that God has called us as a local church to change this world, Mesquite, Nevada. And so that's the world that I live in, and that's the world that I want to relate to. And so when my brother-in-law asked me, "Can you be involved in community in this way?" I want to be involved in this community, but I also want to be involved in that community. And so it is about having proper relationships, and we need God's word, you guys, to give us direction. So that's kind of what the whole series is about. And I'm sorry that I took 10 minutes to explain that. But does anybody have any comments so far just about how important relationship is? Or anything to do with relationships? Relationship with God, relationship with each other? Any comments? Okay. Bonnie.
I try to have a relationship. I go for walks with my dogs in the morning, and I say, "Good morning, Lord." But I don't hear a reply. Is there some way that I could know or feel that He hears me?
Okay. Anybody want to answer that to start?
He's always with us.
Yes, always. I know. Everywhere we go.
Okay.
He never leaves you. You might not get an answer like coach. Is she insinuating that she's not feeling the presence of God? Maybe that's what she wants to feel? The presence of the Lord when you speak?
Yeah, somehow that I know that He hears me, or I know when I hear the Star Spangled Banner, I get chills. when there are certain songs that we sing, I get chills or goosebumps.
Okay.
But
that's
I
could be.
It could be the air conditioning.
It could be the air conditioning. Good job, Roger. Leave it to your husband to come through with the comment on that one. All right. Very good. Pastor Craig, can I defer to you?
You know, you don't want to base God's presence on feeling. You want to base it on fact. And God tells us directly that if we have trusted in Christ, we have a relationship with God, and He hears our prayers.
Amen.
That is a fact right from the mouth of God telling you. And I'm guessing that with your relationship with Roger, it's not always chills or goosebumps. But that doesn't mean you don't have a relationship.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
It's a fact of the matter. So.
We've got good air conditioning, too.
That's great. All right. I was just going to say, you know, I think the greatest thing that I try to do for myself is just when I read God's Word and there's promises that I see in the Word, just believe them. Just because sometimes I don't feel the presence of God. But, again, He says He'll never leave me. And so there are times that I feel lonely.
Yeah.
But
I'm doing more reading.
Good, good. There are times that I feel lonely. But the truth is, I'm really not. He's there. Okay? So just to kind of practice
Maybe
those things.
That's where the trust comes in.
Good. Yeah. Excellent. Absolutely.
It's not by feelings.
Yep. It's faith. Yeah. Absolutely.
Like you said, you feel lonely, but you know you're not.
Absolutely. You got to believe those promises. All right. So this morning, we're going to look at how to be biblically authentic. That's the title this morning of the Sunday school lesson, how to be biblically authentic. So in your notes there, and there's probably going to be notes flying up behind me. That first word we want to look at is hypocrisy, kind of a word that you hear thrown around outside of the church, sometimes inside of the church. You'll hear people say, oh, Christians are what? They're hypocrites, right? You're hypocritical, okay? That would be true of all of us, probably. The definition is this, an actor, stage player, or pretender is the definition of a hypocrite or hypocrisy. When you think of hypocrisy, what comes to your mind? Please don't mention a person's name, but or your spouse's name. Or... Okay, say that again.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Okay.
Fake.
Fake, okay.
What was that last one?
Fake. Anybody else? Has anybody ever heard people say that about people in the church?
Yes.
Okay, a lot, okay? It is certainly something that is said quite a bit. All right, that word authenticity, the state of being real or genuine. The state of being real or genuine, that's really what we desire because Jesus is truth, God is truth. We want to live truthful lives to the best that we can. We need God actually to aid us in that process because we can even deceive ourselves quite easily. And so we want to be living just genuine. The word transparency, to allow light to pass through so that objects behind can be clearly seen. It's kind of a catch word in the church today. You'll hear people say, and what they mean is, they mean to be authentic, but they'll say, you need to be transparent. So, to live... You hear that in politics?
Yeah.
Well, that's fascinating. Okay. All right. So, okay, I'm going to bring it back here real quick because I can see we could spend all of our time on that probably. All right, so we'll pray for our politicians, okay? And then for us as the church, we do need to consider what it means to be transparent. And I think it depends on your context, meaning this, that you're never not transparent, but there are levels of transparency. You just don't go to a stranger and just open up your complete life. There are issues of trust that need to be gained. But it is important to understand that. So in your notes there I have this. It is simply admitting and agreeing with what the Bible says about us. Admitting and agreeing with what the Bible says about us. That is being transparent. It has to start with you first. So it's interesting. When you think of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it actually begins there. Because the gospel is this. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23, right? So it starts there to be transparent about who you are. We're all condemned in Adam. Actually, we We are separate from a holy God. And it starts there, just to be honest with yourself, to say, you know what? I'm a sinner. You do realize that in our world today, despite the fact that there's a lot of sin, that's difficult for people to admit, would you say? What have you guys experienced as far as that, with people just being transparent that way when it comes to their sin, the fact that they're a sinner? What's your experience? Yeah.
I would say I'm a good person.
Okay.
Well, their good outweighs their bad.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Good outweighs their bad. All right. Anything else? Yeah.
Well, they don't call a sin a sin. They'll say, well, I was a sinner. You know, I didn't, because I go to church, I'm not a sinner anymore. Or
good.
I'm not an active sinner because they're not currently doing things that they used to consider.
Okay.
And now sin is genetic. So we're born that way. Or
okay.
Sin, it's a disorder.
Okay, disorder. Okay. So you can take medication for your disorder. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Hearing a lot of things these days. Anybody else?
Well, that sin isn't relevant today.
It's not relevant today. Wow, isn't that weird that we're having conversation about relevant sin and non-relevant sin? That's interesting. Okay. Good. Anybody else? I've heard I just make mistakes. So they're trying to lessen the severity of what it sounds like, because we live in a very PC culture. And so sin just sounds, I mean, you sound just like such a discouraging person to say the word sin, you know, that three-letter word. And so I've heard people just say, I make mistakes. All right, so here it is. There's a quote in your notes there at the beginning. The life we project and the life that we practice must be the same. That's the thought that we want to have about this. The life that we project and the life that we practice must be the same. Because a lot of times people project a certain image, but it's not really who they are. And that's really where you get into the hypocrisy. And you guys, being in ministry, I can't tell you how many stories I've heard of pastors. I don't believe this is true of our pastor, but there are a lot of pastors who live one way before their church, and they live a completely different way to their family. And it's driving their children away from the church, where they despise the church because of the hypocrisy that's in the home. And so for all of us, where we're truly kind of let our guard down is in our home, is it not? And so our children, probably, if you really want to know a person, probably in a business, yeah, in a business setting, you know, forget the application, call the home. Call the wife and call the children if you really want, because children, you know, they... I know children lie, but trust me, they don't hold back on the truth either. And they just tell it how it is, quite frankly, a lot of times. So much so that I've kind of covered my ears at times with some kids, how they say it. All right, second thing in your notes is this. God despises spiritual hypocrisy, but desires spiritual authenticity. He despises spiritual hypocrisy, but desires spiritual authenticity. Why would I say that? And can you give me an example from Scripture that might be true?
He says, be holy for I am holy.
Okay.
You can't be unholy and authentic at the same time.
Okay. Good.
Be not only hearers, but doers of the word.
Okay. James. Very good. Yeah.
The woman at the well.
Okay. Okay, very good. Anybody else? He despises spiritual hypocrisy. Do you think that's true?
Yeah.
Okay. Any other examples?
Jesus condemning the Pharisees.
Okay, that's... Okay, very good. I mean, over and over again, if you guys read the Gospels, it's interesting when you really look at how Jesus... relates, now listen very carefully, how Jesus relates to religious people. He calls them hypocrites over and over again in Scripture. We're going to look at that actually this morning, hopefully. But, you know, that is absolutely true. Jesus, the only time that he was really in an argument with anyone were with the religious Jews, the Pharisees. Oftentimes, and there was this battle going on, and Jesus actually, he was pleading with them not to put their trust in what they were doing, their works, but he was offering himself to them, but they were so blinded by their pride. but he desires spiritual authenticity. That's very good. All right, so if you have your Bibles, let's just turn to John 14:6. Perhaps you guys already know that verse. We're going to hop around because this is a series. This isn't verse by verse with Mark. He did a good job going verse by verse. We're going to hop around a little bit. But John 14:6 says this, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. We'll just stop right there. The way, the truth, and the life. So when we think about having a relationship with Jesus Christ, Jesus is truth. And so if we're going to have a proper relationship with Christ, it needs to be based on truth for us to be able to relate to that. John chapter 14 and verse 6. Did you find it? 14:6.
Okay.
You want to read that for me?
Yes.
Okay.
Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Okay. So we are talking about relationship here, and we're talking about truth. So I understand that you guys know this, but what is oftentimes what I hear people say when they talk about having relationships with people, what is an element of relationship that is foundational?
Trust.
Trust. Now, where does that come from? It comes from what?
Belief.
Okay, it comes from belief. But how do you establish trust ultimately? Good. Getting to know the truth about someone. That's where trust is established. The foundation to any relationship, and I agree with you, think of the gospel. Jesus asks us to have a relationship with him, to trust the truth about him. What's the truth? The truth about us, we're sinners. The truth about him, he's God in the flesh. And he's offered himself as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. And if we believe that he died on the cross for us personally, we can have a personal relationship with him. To trust in what he's done, to trust who he is, to trust the truth facts about that situation. Does that make sense? And the same is true in relationship with people. And when it comes to hypocrisy, this is the thing I want us to think about, because we're all guilty to a certain degree of putting on masks. But if I put on a mask and I go around and Roger doesn't know the real me, he knows the mask me. And Roger begins to like the mask me. And we have a friendship based on the mask. You see the problem? Yeah. Roger likes the mask. He doesn't even know me. And so when it comes out, the truth comes out, that Roger's been liking the mask that whole time, his heart gets hurt. And it's you draw away. You're like, wait a second, what's the truth here? So the danger for all of us is what we're doing, and you know what's so crazy about the process and the cycle is we feel empty inside when we're projecting the mask because we're not really being loved. The mask is being loved. That's the danger, and you know what? That's what Satan does. He's a mask wearer himself because he's a liar. Turn with me in your Bibles over to John chapter 8 and verse 44. John chapter 8, verse 44. Remember my promise, we're not going to get through all this, clearly. But that's okay, because it's more important for you and I to grow in our relationship with Jesus and each other. Okay? Who has John 8:44? Raise your hand if you'd like to read that. Oh, wow. Okay.
Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father it is, and the lust of your father it is your will to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and standeth not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh for his own, for he is a liar and the father thereof.
Okay. Here's the thought on Satan. Satan is a what?
Liar.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Can Satan tell the truth?
Yeah.
Can he tell the truth?
He could.
What do you think? Can he tell the truth, Pastor Craig?
Absolutely, he can tell the truth.
Okay.
He could, but he just doesn't want to.
He could, but he just doesn't want to. Okay. When you look at 1 John 5:19, you don't have to turn there right now, but it talks about how Satan is running this world, okay? He's running this world, essentially. He's the prince of this world, things like that. And so the world system reflects the thinking of Satan, you might say. So whatever the world is doing, if it's going this direction, I can guarantee you that God's going this direction, okay? So if there's something that comes up on the news, I'm not going to say anything right now, but if something comes up and the world says, yay, I guarantee you God says, that breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. Because that will destroy you, whatever that is. It's a lie. And so Jesus uses very strong language always when you see in the Gospels, when he relates to those hypocritical religious leaders. There's some very serious language. And he just had a much different approach with the sinners, the woman at the well. And I want you guys to have those eyes when you read Scripture. I want you to see the difference in the way that Jesus related to the spiritual, religious people and the sinners. Because it's so different when you talk about pride and humility and things like that. But Jesus wanted a relationship with both groups of people. I do want you to understand that. I believe Jesus loves the Pharisees. I believe that Jesus died for the Pharisees. But his approach was different. And here's the thing, Jesus, I believe, was very authentic, but his approach relationally was different to different types of people, but he was still himself. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so we need to do the same, okay? Just in our relationships. All right, so here's a couple of things really quick. Why do people put on masks? Can you guys give me some reasons before I give you my reasons?
It's Halloween.
It's Halloween. Everybody's going to be a hypocrite tonight. All right. Very good. Yes. Fear of judgment. Okay, very good.
Or rejection.
Rejection, okay.
Failure.
Okay.
Hiding.
We're hiding. Very good. Anybody else? Okay, here's the four that I have. I heard some of those. Number one, fear of rejection. There's nobody that likes that. Nobody likes to be rejected. And so if we put the truth out there about who we are, that person is not going to accept us. Number two, fear of getting hurt. Number three, running from someone or something. And number four, rebelling against someone or something. We can sometimes put on masks. And here's the thing, you guys. I'm guilty of putting on masks. And a lot of it, when it happens, if I look back, it's all of those things in my life. So here's question number two. What are the problems that come with mask wearing? Because here's the thing. When you talk about spiritual hypocrisy, when you talk about mask wearing, there are problems that come with that. So if you have your Bibles, go over to the Old Testament. We're going to go over to Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 22. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 22. And I'm sure you guys know this, but Proverbs is a great book about how to have good relationships with people. So if you're wondering, wow, Lord, how do you want me to relate to people? Go to Proverbs, and the Lord will use it to speak to you, I would assume, as he has me. Somebody, just when you find it, be willing to read Proverbs 12, 22. Okay, he delights in people who are truthful. Can someone tell me why God would delight in people who are truthful? What do you think?
Because he's truthful.
Okay, that's a great place to start, because he's truthful. Good. Okay, that's his character, yeah?
We want to be honest.
We want to be honest? Can I be honest with you right now?
Sure.
I don't always want to be honest.
Why?
It's just in me. Sometimes, I don't know if you've ever had this feeling, but I felt like lying before. And then I've actually acted upon it. Can you believe that?
No.
This may be my last time to teach you guys. I got to be authentic with you. I got to be honest. I got to be transparent.
I know you're being human.
Well, thank you. I do appreciate that. Put the pedestal way down there. So, and I don't have to fall off. So that's good. But yeah, I sometimes feel like lying. And sometimes I do lie.
A little fine
line. Bonnie.
Just a little.
Yeah. I made a mistake. Thank you for clarifying that. Thank you. All right. If you have your Bibles, we want to look at the story of Adam and Eve. So go over to Genesis chapter 3. And we'll get into this story a little bit. Now you may say, well, what do you mean about how could they be hypocritical with what's going on here? And we want to go to chapter 3. And I'll start in verse 7. And this is right after they made their mistake. Okay. Verse 7, it says, "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden." You may be saying to me, well, they're being honest. I mean, they're afraid of God. They've sinned, and now they're going to go and hide. But what did they do according to verse 7? What did they do?
They were ashamed.
Okay, they what? They put on a full body mask. That's what they did. Okay, they didn't put this kind of a mask on, but they felt naked. And so what did they do? She covered her breasts and she covered herself here. He covered himself down here. And then on top of it, the mask wearing, then what did they go do? They hid. So they hid behind their mask and they hid from God because they were ashamed. We understand that. But here, this is what I want you to understand. Mask wearing and hypocrisy started in the garden. And it's worked its way all the way until redemption, until Jesus said, I want to set you free from walking in truth. And even if people don't get you, even if people don't like the truth in you, they also did that to Jesus. And we should expect no different. But there's freedom only in walking in truth. You guys, we're trapped behind our mask wearing. And people can't really love us, and they can't really love Christ in us. I think one of the greatest attractive qualities about a believer is someone who is transparent. Because what they do is they agree with what the Bible says about them. They can say things like, you know what, sometimes I feel like lying. What if I stood up here, Bonnie, and I said, you know what, I don't ever feel like lying. And I don't.
That's a lie. Well,
that's true. That's true. So here's my question. How would that make you feel, though? If I was up here and I said that, how would that make you feel?
I would kind of shy away.
Okay.
So you're self-righteous.
I would be a Pharisee, for sure. But you know what it does in relationship? It pushes you away. It pushes you away. And so when I can just agree with the Bible of what it says about me, and it's truthful, there's an attractive quality there. And you know what it does? It makes our fellowship sweet, even if I mess up. Isn't that great?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. All right, so here it is. Number one in your notes, hypocrisy makes us feel distant. Verses 9 and 10. Verse 9, it says, "But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?' He answered, 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid.'" Hypocrisy makes us feel distant, and it creates distance in relationship. You know what, you guys? It's inevitable, and here's the reason why. If there's no mask wearing, you go face-to-face in relationship. If you put a mask on, there is something now in the way between face-to-face relationship. Do you see that? And there's distance there. There's something in the way. You can say it's a wall. You can say it's a mask. But you guys have ever heard people, I create walls around myself because I want to be safe in relationship. You're creating distance when you do that. You know what? There's always risk in relationship, and there's always the risk of being hurt. Always. You want to know why? I'll stand before you now, and I'll tell you something about myself. I burned out of ministry 18 months ago because I was so hurt by the church. Because I'm not a mask wearer by nature. Well, by nature, I am a mask wearer. But the way that I pastor very authentically and transparently, and so does my wife. And guess what? We got burned really bad by people in the church. Because there's two ways that people normally respond. They're either attracted by that, or they're repulsed by that, and they fight against it. And they do hurtful things and they say hurtful things. Well, I just got so hurt that I just literally crashed and I burned. And God provided us with a fantastic pastor and pastor's wife who have just loved us. And really, I mean, I felt bad for them. I just said, you know, we're just here, leave us alone. That's basically what I said. And Pastor Craig, because of his humility, is able to do that. And I mean, I've told people, we've got a great pastor and pastor's wife. The very ones that God chose for us, that we needed to heal. But it creates distance. Number two, hypocrisy makes us defensive. It goes on in the verses, verse 11, and he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? The man said, verse 12, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it. Typical guy, right? Anyway, it makes us defensive. Why does it make us defensive when we wear masks? Why do you think it makes us defensive?
We don't want that mask torn off.
Bingo. Anybody else?
We really are.
Good. Yep. Anybody else?
We know we're wrong.
And you get and we get defensive, right? The reason we want to talk about these kinds of things is because we all, in certain relationships, this is true of us, and Jesus is asking of us as a community church to be different, to be like Jesus, to live in truth, to take that risk. And so you just got to think through, how do I relate? Is this true of me at times? All right, number three, and we'll end with this. We've got so far in our notes today. This is awesome. Hypocrisy makes us denounce others. Denounce others. Verse 13, it says this. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate it. A lot of times, if we were to get called out or we feel defensive, we go on the offensive later, and we attack. Yeah, we can blame others, but because we feel afraid, or we feel as though we're going to be found out in some way if we're hiding something about ourselves. Yeah, what we do, what we think is we just go on the attack and we attack other people. And it pushes away.
The devil made me do it.
The devil always makes us do it, right? All right, I'm going to just wrap up here. I'm going to give you a few more real quick. And then, of course, we have notes for you. But letter B in your notes is this. Remember, this is off of what are the problems that come with mask wearing. Number two, it contaminates our own feelings and leads toward empty and fake actions. Because our feelings are involved in this process, you guys. And then we continue to be fake. Number three, it contaminates our friendship with other people, including our witness to unbelievers. Number four, it keeps people from experiencing spiritual freedom and stunts their growth. And that's the thing. It even affects the way that we fellowship with one another, and it affects growth. If we're not having a proper relationship because of hypocrisy and not authenticity, you understand that iron, as iron sharpens iron, Proverbs 27:17, I can't really sharpen someone else. Christ can't do that in and through my life because I'm not being authentic. And it's not gonna happen that way. And so it even affects the body of Christ in the way that we grow. We always think we're trying to protect ourselves, right? But what it does is we're not really protecting ourselves, and we're not protecting the body of Christ as a whole either. And there's the last one is this. It makes rules of first importance instead of personal relationship. It makes rules of first importance. So if I don't do this or if I do that, that's what it can lead to. And here's a quote I just want to leave you with. I don't know if, Kobe, you found it or not. Maybe I don't have it in the notes. But this is what Brennan Manning said. He was like a monk, best way I can put it. He said this, the greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, walk out the door, and deny him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world finds unbelievable. And so my challenge to you and to me this morning is this. Let's just, as best we can, ask the Lord Jesus, Lord, just allow my life to be lived out in the way that you say, right here. Just align my life with this book. And guess what? We can't do it on our own. We need Jesus to help us, all right? So here are the notes, because I did a really bad job as your teacher this morning. We'll try to go right through everything next week. We can say we got through our lesson, all right? But if you want our own personal study, I'll leave those out on the table. Is that the best place, Pastor Craig? Okay. End our time in prayer, and then you guys can be dismissed. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Lord, that the truth sets us free. And Lord, I believe that Satan doesn't desire us to have good relationships, not only with you, but with other people. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us just to trust you and to know what it means to take a risk in relationship. And we know, Lord, that there are hurting people out there who will hurt us. But Lord, I would pray for all of us that we would consider that it's worth the risk. It's worth the risk to have a relationship with you and others. And so I pray that you would heal our hearts, Lord, heal our hurts. But Lord, allow us to be like Jesus in relationship and to be as truthful as we can with ourselves, but Lord, to be truthful with other people too. We need your help, and we pray that you would be glorified in it and through it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thanks, you guys.